This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper in New York. A federal judge in Texas halts the Food and Drug Administration's approval of an abortion pill, delivering a blow to abortion rights advocates in the wake of the Supreme Court's dismantling of the constitutional right to abortion. Correspondent Christian Benavides.
Dueling rulings on the abortion pill mifepristone put the future of medication abortion in limbo. Matthew Kaczmarek, a Trump-appointed federal judge in Amarillo, Texas, ruled to invalidate a 23-year-old FDA approval of the pill, issuing a preliminary injunction, siding with anti-abortion rights groups who sued the FDA, arguing the pill was improperly approved and posed a risk to patients despite its use since the year 2000.
So make no mistake, the decision could throw our country into chaos. It'll set a dangerous new precedent, and it will put lives in jeopardy.
That was Democrat Senator Chuck Schumer there. A mall shooting in Delaware leaves three people injured and forces shoppers to evacuate as police investigate. KYW-TV's Marcella Baeto is on the scene in Newark.
Police tell us this shooting was a result of a dispute, and it was not a random attack. They also tell us they're still looking for the suspect or suspects that did this. Now, Delaware State Police tell us the shooting happened inside the mall at the food court at around 6:40. One of the three victims who was shot was involved in that altercation. Five other people were not shot but were injured during the incident.
The Masters is marred by rain during round three, shutting down play early for the day today. Tiger Woods did make history, though, as CBS's Jim Axelrod reports from Georgia.
He made the cut hitting the pin on 15, tying the record of 23 made cuts in a row and keeping his streak alive of never missing the cut as a professional.
I've always loved this golf course, and I love playing this event.
That was the highlight of his day, however, as he was 6 over through 7 before play was stopped.
The weather is supposed to be better tomorrow with sun and warmer temps. China launches new military exercises taking aim at pro-independence forces in Taiwan. Warplanes and ships cross the unofficial line in the Taiwan Strait, dividing the Chinese mainland and the island. Correspondent Elizabeth Palmer is in Taipei.
China released a slick video to show the start of 3 days of military exercises that will rehearse encircling the island of Taiwan with Chinese warships and involve aircraft, too. Taiwan said more than 40 Chinese planes had flown into its de facto airspace on day one.
And this just in, the Israeli military says three more rockets have been launched from Syria toward Israel. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com.
News brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Watts, your personal injury attorneys dedicated to helping you get the justice you deserve. GTWLawyers.com. They're all in to win.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The long-term effects of Wisconsin's redistricting process were apparent in the November elections. A nonpartisan good government group says voters who feel overlooked should not give up. Mike Moen reports.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election, but Republicans maintained strong control over the legislature. Jay Heck of the group Common Cause points out that Evers maintains his veto power, but he says Republicans still carry a lot of weight, partly because they keep redrawing the maps to their advantage.
There were more votes cast for Democratic candidates statewide than Republican. But the contrast with the legislative elections in the state is so sharp, it almost makes laughable the idea that we have a true representative democracy.
Researchers have said that over the past decade, Wisconsin has produced among the most gerrymandered voting district maps in the country. Heck says voters should look ahead to next year's state Supreme Court election with the hope a less politicized court could eventually revisit the issue. And there could be legislation floated again next year to develop an independent redistricting process. In the meantime, he says the current maps allow a smaller percentage of voters to decide who controls the legislature, leaving other voters behind in fair representation.
Urban areas in Wisconsin have suffered a decline in the shared revenue from the state, even though those people pay taxes.
Heck says that means less support for schools, roads, and other public needs. Analysts say lawmakers representing these areas get packed into boundaries that ultimately diminish their voices at the state capitol. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Walks, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
News brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, your personal injury attorneys with over 35 years of experience. GTWLawyers.com. They're all in to win.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
And speaking of suffragettes, Anastasia, say hello on the board here.
Hi, good morning.
Love to have you here. And Anastasia and I were working election night, and looks like a new day in Wisconsin on some levels. And to talk about our elections later on in the show, Jim Santel gets here early before morning cannolis to talk about the impact of the elections, what that will mean for Waukesha. And before I introduce my first guest, we have a few guests this morning. I want to congratulate Waukesha South varsity coach, John Stillman, on winning his first game as the varsity head coach for Waukesha South baseball. They beat South Milwaukee 14-2. Their game drew national attention, and not necessarily for the wonderful Coach Stillman, but for two players in particular, Eric Teagues and Tyler Pudliner, who we all know by now were seriously injured in the Christmas Parade attacks from 2021. And so NBC News National came to do kind of a follow-up, a story of recovery. So and it was a great night for those two young men, especially Eric Teagues, who went 1-for-3 with 2 RBIs and a walk. And, you know, those two young men are symbols of this community's faith, courage, and resilience. And we know it'll be a special Easter weekend for them and their families after taking the first win at Frame Park. They followed Carroll University, who beat North Park 9-5. So congrats to Carroll. And speaking of Carroll, a great lead into our first guest, Taylor Jansen, who on March 31st, it was announced they removed, he was the interim head coach at Carroll University. On March 31st, they officially removed the interim tag, and he is now the 27th coach in Carroll University basketball history. Coach, welcome. How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You bet. So, so interim head coach, you know, usually that's middle of the season, like tail end of the season, but coach, you are named after two games. So you pretty much coached a full season. How did that go for you? Were you ready for that, did you feel? I know you're the assistant coach at the time.
So I think there's a few ways to look at it. It was very unexpected.
Okay.
So I was not preparing to be a collegiate head coach at that point.
Right.
But the good thing for me and from my past experience was that I have coached a lot of games before.
Okay.
And you know, it wasn't in the same capacity. College basketball is a different beast, and the coaches in the CCIW are really good. There's a lot more layers to coaching a team at the collegiate level than coaching AAU. But at the end of the day, basketball is still basketball. And there's still concepts and things that you believe in. You know how to run a practice. You've implemented practice plans before. You've communicated with athletes and players. So I think there was some things that, like, you know, I was prepared to do, and I right. did have a good role previously to that too, where I had a voice within the team. So I you know, all things considered, was I perfectly prepared? Absolutely not. Did it work out okay? And did I feel confident in taking over the role and being able to do as good of a job as I possibly could have? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's terrific. And you also played for Carroll. I have to mention class of 2011, which I believe makes you 33 years old.
33 years old.
So we've got a young coach here and a Carroll alumnus. So it feels like you're back at home.
Yeah, no. And the thing is, I've always lived here. I graduated from Pewaukee High School in 2007, went to Carroll, graduated 2011, and I've always been in Wisconsin. So whether it was Tosa, whether it was back in Pewaukee, and then my wife and I actually live in Waukesha now. So
nice.
I've always been in the community, and, you know, I'm thankful to to be able to drive 7 or 8 minutes to get to work on a full-time basis now at Carroll. So it's a great fit, and it's a place that I've been my whole entire life, and I'm thankful to continue to be here.
That sounds great. And so my text is going off. My wife Melissa says hi because she's a director of instruction at La Casa de Esperanza, and she's reminding me that you bring your team over to read to the kids and basically set good, you know, role models for good reading skills. Is that correct?
Yeah, and Coach Combs actually started that previously, okay. And he kind of spearheaded that program, working with Sharp Literacy, and the guys embrace it. Our coaches embrace it. We kind of all figure out a schedule that works for all of us, so that all the coaches can all get over there and the players can all get over there. But in its roots, it's just a really good concept, and it's a way that we can impact the community and get outside of ourselves, get outside of our little bubble of just playing basketball and going to school and see what's going on in the community and get a chance to impact the younger generation. So it's a really cool thing, and it's a really good opportunity. We're going to keep doing it.
Terrific. Well, that means a lot. And I know it means a lot to the people at La Casa, so, and everyone here in Waukesha. Now, I also learned a little about you as after graduating, you continued your basketball career with your own business called PMAX. What was that all about?
So that was just a way for me. I mean, I had a lot of passion for the, I still do have a ton of passion for the game, obviously. But you know, I wanted to stay in basketball after I got done playing in college. In a way that it kind of came about was I had a couple people in the Pewaukee community approached me like, "Hey, are you willing to come in and work with our youth team?" And did that. I loved it. They started to tell other people. Other people started to tell other people. I was coaching some AAU. So I just started to develop some relationships and connections within the game. And that kind of side business, if you will, or side thing that I was doing turned into my full-time business. So I was running camps, doing clinics, doing small group workouts, some individuals.
That's great.
And then coaching some pretty high-level AAU as well.
Neat. That's great. But now you get to do all that in this full-time role, correct, as head coach?
Yeah. And I still, there's going to be a couple of relationships that are longstanding that I'll still be able to work with, especially in the summer. Our guys aren't here in the summer.
Right.
So, you know, it allows me to still run camps in this area and still work with some players that I have longstanding relationships with. But yeah, I mean, the coaching basketball part of it, running a program part of it, that's all taken care of at Carroll, being the men's basketball coach there.
That's terrific. That's terrific. Now, after this, because Coach Jansen's only here for the first segment, he's going to be driving to Green Bay this morning. What's the occasion?
So there's actually a cool event. It's new that a group is putting on up there where it's just some really good independent Wisconsin teams that are playing at one site in Green Bay. It's called the Workshop up there.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go up there and just start to really hone in on some Wisconsin kids. Some are in the surrounding communities of Milwaukee and Waukesha. There's other kids that are a little bit further up north, but we're just going to start evaluating the class of 2024 and, you know, really try to identify some kids who will be a good fit for Carroll moving forward.
Wow. That's going to be a great experience. So,
yeah, no, excited. It, anytime you get to be out and watching kids and evaluating them and, just thinking about the vision of your program and what kids align with that and who would be fun to play with the guys that we currently have. It's always a fun process, and it's a privilege to be able to do that we have the opportunity to kind of evaluate kids and pick who fits in our vision.
That sounds great. Now, let's say you get an official visit and you're up there in the Green Bay area or wherever, and I know you want to recruit locally. What's your elevator pitch to these young men about why they should take a really hard look at your program here at Carroll?
Well, I think you kind of have to understand a little bit about that kid too. Mm-hmm. You need to understand where they're at in their development process. You know, because there's a lot of ways you can go with it, but I think at the root of all of it is that like Carroll's a great place to be. It's not going to be a campus where you're going to get overwhelmed and you're going to get kind of bottled up.
Yeah,
there's very individualized attention both with academics. And then I feel like in our program, we're going to invest in guys. We're going to connect with guys. We're going to pour our hearts into them. Mm-hmm. We're going to be there for them as humans. We have a great community outside of Carroll that wants to help the players within our program. So I think those things are kind of the foundations of it. But I think then you also have to be able to evaluate where that kid's at, what they're looking for, and be able to kind of help them understand why or how Carroll can be a good fit for the things that they're looking for as well.
Sure, sure. That's terrific. Well, it doesn't hurt either. You've got a coach that's very young. And, you know, we had Coach Buddha and Coach Holly here on the football side, and they're both very young. So there's a real youth movement going on in Carroll Athletics. Is that safe to say? In terms of the coaching
leadership? I guess I didn't really think about it too much. Yeah. I think, you know, Coach Buddha, Coach Holly, I've gotten to know both. I've gotten to know the whole football side. I've gotten to know a lot of the coaches. Yeah. You know, that are upstairs in the offices, and there's a lot of really good people. And I think there's a lot of people trying to continue to elevate Carroll and make it a better place and make it a more attractive place to be. And there's always foot traffic. There's always a lot of athletes on campus. I think everybody's trying to raise the bar of their program and keep pushing the athletic department forward.
That's terrific. That's got to be really exciting. And so, and I was reading in one of the earlier articles that you were introducing maybe a more faster-paced, up-tempo game, you know, for the Pios. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's one of the things, to be completely honest. Like, if you listen to, you know, any press conferences this time of the year, like, everybody's going to kind of say, like, they want to play fast. We do, too. I mean, there's not a doubt about it. And that is going to be something that we're going to try to – we're going to try to set our identity. We want to be the aggressors. We want to be the team that others have to prepare for. And I think, you know, a fun way to play the game, a fun thing for people to watch, is when players kind of are in control of the game and they're free to make decisions. They play with a ton of confidence. There's an underlying structure that connects them, but I think the more we give the game to them, and they want to play that way. They want to get up and down the floor. They want to shoot when they're open. They don't want to have to look over their shoulder and think, like, am I going to come out here, or is this a good shot? Like, I want them to play free, but you know, with that comes coaching. You got to teach, and you got to make sure that they understand what a good shot is, and that we're not just running up and down the floor and taking terrible shots and putting ourselves in a position to lose. But so it's finding a balance. It's can we play smart? But can we also play with a great sense of freedom and a great sense of confidence? Because then it becomes a player's game. And I think when it becomes a player's game, it's more fun to play in. It's more fun to watch. And ultimately, I think it's the way that the game should be played, in my own personal opinion.
Well, and if you're adding that speed element to the game, does that mean you'd be going deeper into your bench and using more?
Potentially. And I think that all depends on the players that we have. But yes, in theory, if you're getting up and down the floor, you probably, you know, it's going to be a little bit tougher to play six or seven guys. Like, you need to have some depth, and you need to have multiple guys who can all shoot, pass, put the ball on the floor, play defense, and make quality decisions on the basketball court.
Sure, sure. That's great. Is there a coach that you'd consider a role model, like any legendary basketball coach, or maybe one of your mentors growing up?
There's tons. I mean, I think of guys that even I've gotten to know in the recruiting process on the other side of it, with players that I've worked with or players that I've coached in AAU. Mm-hmm. You know, I think just in Wisconsin, you know, Shaka Smart did an unbelievable job this year. You know, and I just admire the way he talks to players, the way he handles himself in the media. He's very genuine. He's very authentic. You know, so I really like him. I mean, you know, I've gotten to know a couple other coaches pretty well. I think, you know, but he comes to mind just in this area that people are familiar with. Like, Shaka's just, he's just a...
He's a great fit for that. Yes. You know, if anyone emulates or resembles the great Al McGuire, I think it's Shaka Smart.
Yeah, and he just is who he is, and that's the thing that I think is, like, commendable and respectable about him, is, like, he's not trying to be anybody that he's not. And do I want to be exactly like him? Do I want to play exactly like him? Do I want to, you know, have the same demeanor or something? No, like, because that's not who I am. But, like, the thing that I respect about him and a lot of other coaches is that, like, they're authentic to themselves, and they're genuine and true to themselves. And I think that's the only way you can be, because your players see through it if you're not.
Sure. So Coach Jansen has to leave in a couple minutes to go to Green Bay, but he has promised to come back closer to the season to give us a preview of what we can expect. So we're really looking forward to that. For our next segment, we are going to have Rick Postian of Next Tech and Glass Pro. So be sure to stick around. But Coach, any final comments for about Carroll basketball or what's going on in the warm weather here to get ready for next season?
No, we're diving into some spring workouts now. The guys are doing their lifting. They're committed to it. We're committed to it. We're gonna invest in our players. We're gonna care about them. We're gonna build great connection relationship, and hopefully people will get excited about Carroll and want to come out and watch us play.
Sounds great. Taylor Jansen, head coach, permanent head coach, Carroll University men's basketball. Thanks for joining us. Stick around. Rick Postian of Glass Tech is next. And as this week in Watch Talk continues, don't go away. Don't just talk about
I'm Scott Trout, attorney and CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. We help men deal with the life changes triggered by divorce, such as child custody and property division, among many others. But life changes also occur after divorce. These changes can make parts of your existing court order irrelevant. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell. We're a partner men can count on.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Milwaukee attorneys. 111 East Kilbourne Avenue, Suite 1650, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53202.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A mix of clouds and sun today with daytime highs approaching 65. South winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 44. Tonight, cloudy skies, mainly sunny. Tomorrow, highs level off around 67. Partly cloudy Tuesday, with highs around 71. 76 Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha. Talk about a classic. Late 70s, early 80s rock, Blondie's Heart of Glass. Now, Heart of Glass, you think it's, I don't know, maybe someone that's sensitive or fragile, or I don't know, it's maybe some negative connotations, but we have a gentleman here today who sees glass in an entirely different light. We're really proud to have, and he is a new Civic Media sponsor, Rick Postian of Next Tech and Glass Pro. Rick, welcome. How are you today?
I'm good. Good. You're one of the first people to ever pronounce that correctly.
All right. Woo! How about it? Well, so my last name's Brown with an E, and so it's either Brownie or, you know... And that's fine. That was one of our nicknames. Or when they're spelling it, they forget the E, which is very offensive to me. But no, anyway. But Rick, as you know better than most of us, when any of us are thinking glass, we're thinking like, you know, baseball through the window or something broken or shit. Like you never think, you know, you never just, like you were saying before the show, you don't sit in your living room, look at your window and say, boy, I could really use I could use some new glass or some shiny new, or whatever it is. But
you don't generally window shop, you know. You don't sit around looking for a new dishwasher, so I'm not going to sit around and be like, oh, hey, I think I'm going to replace this window today. It just looks a little funny to me.
Yeah, I hear. What inspired you to go into glass?
I've always been an entrepreneur, so I've had several businesses throughout my childhood, and when I got a little bit older, I started working for one of the big national glass companies. and just kind of got sick and tired of the corporate garbage and decided
small
to go
business
out,
guy
decided to go out on my own.
That's terrific. And so how many years has Nextech been around?
We started in 2010, so we are starting our 13th year.
Congratulations. Thank you. Lucky 13. How many employees do you have? Johnny wants to know. Johnny Watermelon's here in the studio with us this morning.
Well, we have a total of 16 employees.
16. That's great. That's fantastic. And you're out of New Berlin, but you do a lot of business here in the Shaw, and your coverage area in Milwaukee, it's throughout Milwaukee, it's auto, commercial, and residential. Did I get that correct?
Correct. So in January, we actually bought out Glass Pro on Holly and Blue Mound Road.
Wow.
So that kind of gave us an introduction into the commercial and residential glass side of the business.
That's fantastic. And Holly and Blue Mound, is that Waukesha officially? Do we know that, Mary Jane?
No, that's close to the stadium, the AmFam.
Over near, okay.
Yeah, by all the...
Henry Aaron Park.
Yep.
Right, right.
Love it. Okay.
Right down the road.
Well, that's great.
Very busy intersection.
Terrific. So residential and commercial, which is great because you're covering both markets. What is your typical, what tips do you have for residents in terms of maintaining the lifespan of their glass, their windows, and their...
There really isn't much you can do. It's all about the production of the window. So...
Okay.
When you are looking for window replacements in your house, not just the glass,
right?
Don't go the cheap route. I mean, if you want a piece of glass in there that lasts a lot longer, I mean, I'm going to run myself out of business doing that if you go and buy more expensive windows. But the higher quality window, the higher quality the glass is, the longer that seal's going to last for you.
Sure, sure. That's terrific. And what percentage of your business would you say is residential versus the commercial and the auto?
You know, right now, I would say auto is the primary focus on our business. We're really pushing more for the commercial residential side of the business now.
Sure.
So there's a lot of branding that's going to be done and a lot of new promotions that will be coming out for that side of the business.
That's exciting, yeah. So, and this is the peak season, just so people are thinking home improvements and or new construction.
Yeah, well, if you're like me and you have four kids, they play baseball in the backyard and end up throwing a baseball through one of your windows. And so now you've got to go ahead and get that replaced.
Sure, sure. Oh, I remember those days. Just wait till your father gets home.
Yep.
Oh, that's funny. So you're the guy, you're the hero then that comes in.
I got to be the hero of my own house. Yeah.
Some kid jacks a home run or a foul ball. So... Oh, that's right. Or golf ball and some of the.
Yeah, we've had a few people call in and say, "Oh, my husband was playing golf in the backyard and ended up putting the golf ball through the picture window."
Sure, sure. Now with the auto, do you deal directly with the auto repair shops, or are you selling direct to consumer?
No, most of our business is direct to consumer. So, a lot of new technology coming out in windshields,
right.
With the forward collision alerts and the lane departures.
Sure.
So, a couple of years ago, we invested in that technology. So, we do a lot of work with the insurance companies now to be able to replace your windshield and also recalibrate those cameras all at the same time.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And so what's that customer experience like when they come they come right to your shop, if it were?
You don't even need to.
Or you go to them?
No, we do mobile service. When it comes to the new technology, there is a lot that does need to come to the shop just because of the target systems.
Okay.
But we do offer mobile service. Sure. So we come right to you and take care of it, go right to your house, your
Love
work.
It. Okay.
You want to go to the zoo with the kids, we'll come out there and take care of it while you're at
that
the zoo with the
great.
Kids.
Now, how do we get a hold of you, Rick, if someone decides, hey, you know, like that crack in my windshield is just driving me nuts?
So we actually have two numbers. Our main number is 414-409-7263. And then our Milwaukee location is 414-453-1060. Okay. But we also are in the process.
409-7263. And what's the other one?
453-1060.
453-1060. So, yeah, write those numbers down, both 414.
And we're also in the process of getting a brand new website put up. So, you'll be able to see that at nextechglass.com.
That sounds great. So, hey, we only have a minute left, but Rick Possian, I know, is going to join us again, especially. I think he's going to come see us at the farmers market this summer. And we're really proud to have him as a Civic Media sponsor. That's Rick Possian of Nextech and Glass Pro. Any final comments or Easter wishes for the Waukesha crowd out there?
No, just hope everybody has a happy Easter and feed your kids lots of candy. Just don't bring it to my house.
Sounds great. Rick Possian of Nextech and Glassboro, thanks so much for joining this morning. We look forward to seeing you on future shows and
thanks
learning more great things about your booming business.
Thanks for having me.
So, likewise, thanks. This week, Waukesha continues with a new science fiction film about it, and Jim Centell is also on deck to talk about the election results and some other hotbed issues in Waukesha politics as This Week in Waukesha continues. Don't go away.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Easter Sunday in Rome, the Pope delivered Mass to tens of thousands of faithful.
All Christ's disciples, through the sign of water, let us remember our baptism that we may participate in the Eucharistic feast with newness of life.
A Texas judge has ruled to block the use of a key abortion drug, mifepristone. CBS's Skylar Henry.
The Biden administration says the controversial ruling eliminates basic freedoms for women, putting their health at risk.
The drug's used in more than half of all abortions in the U.S. American Brooks Koepka leads the Masters with 12 holes left to play in his third round. CBS's Jim Axelrod at Augusta.
As for Tiger Woods, he made the cut, tying the record of 23 made cuts in a row and keeping his streak alive of never missing the cut as a professional.
The third round scheduled to get underway at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson and Wachs, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Fox. GTWLawyers.com.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weikert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Maxine Radio with Dennis Graham from Rock Onsen.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. By the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We'll be right back.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha. And yes, the election's over. But there's a more important election coming up, in my opinion, in my heart anyway. Every day until April 28th, you have the opportunity to do the right thing and elect Warren Zevon to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame posthumously. That was Lawyers, Guns, and Money, another one of his great hits. But please do the right thing. Do it now. Every day you get to vote at least once. And speaking of Lawyers, Guns, and Money, now I am joined by my very good friend and legal counsel here at the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, James Santel. We're going to talk more at length. Jim, how are you this morning?
Don, I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me on once again this morning. Yeah.
And Jim, as I found out, is a big science fiction film fan. And he insisted on being part of this
Absolutely.
Interview.
Absolutely.
We have a very young talent who's called all the way from New York. Is he on, Anastasia? Okay. Davis, are you there?
Hello? I'm here, yeah. How's it going, Don?
Hey, great, great. How are things in the Big Apple?
They're great, yeah. It's warming up, starting to get some nice spring weather here. I'm excited.
Love it, love it. So Davis Brown is my nephew, and that's why I have James Santel here. As an attorney, we don't want any conflict of interest.
None
so
whatsoever.
Jim might be handling some of the questions, but Davis spent some summers here in Waukesha, has some fond memories, but he went to Fordham University in New York and majored in film. And he's already, just a few years out of college, he's already got his first feature film out called Capsules, which was awarded the Best Feature Award at the Philip K. Dick Science Fiction Film Festival. And his film was sold to an Oscar-nominated studio following its first festival premiere. You can catch, it's called Capsules, and it's on Amazon Prime and Apple TV. Did I get that right, Davis?
That's correct, yeah.
Sounds good. Tell us about the movie real quick.
Yeah, so it's a sci-fi coming-of-age thriller about these four college kids that find these mysterious pills on the ground. They decide to experiment with them one weekend during finals. And they quickly realize if they don't keep taking them, they'll die. So they have to figure out how they work and how they can escape this loop of sorts.
Sounds great. And so I know there are some great reviews during the festivals. What kind of reviews had you had since the release on Amazon Prime and Apple TV?
Yeah, it's been great. We've gotten some really good reviews. Some mixed reviews, also some really good reviews. A couple days ago, we actually got indie film darling Jim Cummings, who's he's a very well-known indie film director, and he's very well-known for like doing it yourself. So he crowdfunded like $300,000 and made a movie and then sold it to one of the big studios, I want to say like MGM, and it's on Hulu. And so he tweeted and wrote a review about our movie. And wow. He was like, this is, it was like a rave review, and it was so cool to see that. Okay. And we've gotten a lot of other really cool reviews from like horror sites. Rotten Tomatoes approved critics. The response has been really cool, and it's been great to just see like what our friends and family think of it too, and like random people on the internet sure. will tell us about the movie.
That sounds wonderful, Davis. Davis, this is Jim. Very nice to meet you, even remotely, coming in from New York City. This is terrific. You are a recent graduate, right? Just about 4 years out of college. Is that correct?
Yeah. Nice to meet you, Jim. I graduated in 2019 from Fordham.
And obviously had an interest in the arts from the very beginning. I noted, among other things, that you've done some short films. Now, I wonder if you could talk to Don and me a little bit about the differences in those styles. This is plainly a feature film, as Don has indicated. You've reported on this morning very enthusiastically and wonderfully. But you've done short films as well. What is the difference, and why does one gravitate toward one as opposed to the other?
Yeah, so short films are really, the way I view them, they're... they're not as accessible in a way. I think that people, like the average person, wants to watch a feature film because you get to tell a full story in, an hour and a half. Whereas short films, to me, have always been a way to, like, kind of develop your voice as a filmmaker and also, like, prove to other people that you can make something really good. And I think a lot of filmmakers in the industry will make short films to try and get, the money or the critical acclaim to be able to make a feature film, because it just costs so much more money to make a feature But I think that's most people's goals. There are probably some people out there that like short films more than feature films, but you know, like everything you see on Netflix, for the most part, everything you see on Netflix in the theaters is going to be a feature film, but it just takes a lot of time and resources to make one. So I think that's why a lot of people make short films. And that's why earlier in my career, I did make short films.
Absolutely. And I know, believe it or not, Don and Davis, I was in a short film here in the Waukesha area about a year or so ago this time. We'll talk about that some other time. This is about you this morning, Davis. So I know a little bit about the collaboration that you speak about. And I wonder if you could talk to Don and me and all the listeners out there about the fact that, yes, you have this wonderful partner named Luke Momo, I understand, who's a part of your very good movement forward here, but an awful lot of people involved in putting together a feature film. This is no small thing. You don't just wake up in the morning, roll out of bed, and put it together. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, Luke and I have worked together since college, and we wanted to make a bigger movie, actually. That was our plan, and we had one budgeted out for about $200,000 to $250,000, and it was like a sci-fi, like, you know, more of like a sci-fi action movie, and sure, there's like a car chase scene, and it would have cost a decent amount of money to make. And we tried for a couple of years to raise money and get producers attached and everything, and it just didn't work out. I think that people thought we were too young and it was just too much of a challenge. So we sat down and said, okay, like, let's try to write something that we can make ourselves. And part of that was getting people on board who were like less experienced, who would buy into the process. Right. So we had, I mean, 3 out of 4 of the main actors, myself included, were non-actors. Like we had done some kind of film or like stage work, but we decided to try our hand in acting, and we had a really small team for this film. It was like 10 people total, including the cast, which is just really small. Like we had a 1-team sound department, a 2-team camera department, but everybody just really bought in and they loved the project. And there were just such there's such good energy on set that it really felt like people would kind of take on roles that they weren't necessarily in their job description. And so everybody pitched in, and it was such a collaborative environment. Like, everybody's ideas were welcome. There's no like hierarchy, and it was just, yeah, super collaborative experience, which I think is so important to making something good.
And you did this quickly, do I understand, about 8 days or so? Is that correct?
Yeah. So wow. Yeah, it was eight and a half days. And I mean, the whole process from coming up with the idea to finishing it was probably around 9 months total, which is very quick.
And my guess is, I'm embarrassed to say I have not yet seen the film, looking forward to viewing it, of course, along with everyone else. My guess is that energy, that sense of, okay, we've all got to get together and make this all happen. And today I'm going to take out the trash, and tomorrow I'm going to be an actor and that sort of thing. That also translates onto the screen, right? Because that enthusiasm, that commitment to your artistic goal, that can't be bottled and sold. That's just a part of the process, as I suspect.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's, you discover a lot while you're making it too. And I think you discover when people are less, experienced and just, it's more on the fly, you know, the project is more on the fly. You discover things, and the film changes as you're making it,
yes,
which is cool.
Right.
And
right.
So that's part of the energy, is that we filmed the first 3 days, and this one scene was like totally different from how we had written it or how we had planned it out. And it's like, well, that changes like the 3 previous scenes and then the 1 scene after that. So it's just we're just constantly adapting, and people were so like on board with it, and they were just so adaptable, and everybody was just kind of had to, you know, learn on the fly, which was really cool.
Yeah, Davis, I have to say objectively, because I'm not a huge science fiction fan, but I believed when I was watching the acting that, you know, you're all very believable. I would have guessed that each of you had an acting background. Would you say your success in pulling that off had the fact to do that you guys are just a few years out of school and you were kind of reliving your college days there, or was it just, you know, the passion for the material and the comfort with it?
I mean, that's a great point. I think that was part of it for sure. I mean, my character personally, because we wrote it, Luke and I wrote it together, and then he wanted me to act in it, and I wasn't sure about acting in it. And I quickly realized, I was like, oh, this character is a version of me already. So I was the kind of irresponsible one that was like always getting the party started. That's kind of my character, you know, for better or for worse, getting the party started. And so it was, I mean, yeah. And we all went to, let's see. So two out of the four of us went to Fordham together, me and Caroline Shriver, Caroline Potter Shriver.
That's where the great Vince Lombardi was for any of you Packer fans out there. Sorry, go ahead, Davis.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of great alumni. Denzel Washington actually went there as well. Yeah, it was. I think that definitely made it easier. It's just like having been a few years out of college. And Luke puts it well, is having graduated and then, you know, like 6 or 7 months after COVID hit. So the way he puts it is his interest in making the film was that he felt like trapped in this time of like college because he felt like he wasn't able to like move forward into like real life right after college. And I think that's where the idea started, really, about like making something that takes place in college, because we're like, oh, we're going in the real world, and all of a sudden the real world is shut down. So it's like, I think we had those memories especially fresh on our minds when we were making it.
Nice. Now, do you want to stick with the science fiction genre, or are you interested in doing other types of movies?
I'm interested in other type of movies. I actually really like comedies, so I would love to make a comedy one day. And there's some there are definitely some comedic elements to this, especially in the first like third of the film. Luke is a very much, I think this is where Luke and I's styles come together, is that I have a really great interest in science fiction. But he more so, you know, like wants to make science fiction films, whereas I'm more in like the comedy drama space, and we come together to make something that I think some of the best films have both elements. They have that high concept and like cool sci-fi stuff going on, but at the end of the day, it is like a drama and a story about these characters. Like some of my favorite movies over the past few years were Ex Machina. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yes.
Or Annihilation. And Interstellar. Christopher Nolan's Interstellar. I think those are at the end of the day movies about people, but they have a really cool like science fiction plot and story to them.
And a real humanity to them too. I suspect that's true of your present film and those as well, right? That sense of interrelationship among the characters, even in the midst of, again, science fiction horror in this particular case, but it's got to be about human beings.
And that's, I gotta say, if I put my Gene Siskel hat on, is there were moments in the movie where nothing was being spoken, but the way that the cinematography was capturing the mood of the individuals, the close-ups on their faces, it did a great job of communicating the storyline. I thought that was pretty impressive.
So, and thank you, Don. I appreciate that.
I think it has applications for other genres. So can we ask Davis what your next project is, and could it involve something here in Waukesha where there's so much history, including a silent film history?
Very good, right?
Very strong silent film
and plenty
history.
Plenty of actors and producers and sound people and costumers.
And if you want to stay in sci-fi, there is a paranormal and UFO history here
absolutely,
in the Shaw as well. I've got some people you can work with. And then the Springs era, if you're looking at any history type of pieces. So what do you think?
Oh, I would love to film something there. Yeah, that'd be great. I didn't know about the science, but like the UFO, you'll have to tell me more about that when I see you.
I'm
going to
connect you with Josh Hughes, who does ghost tours, but he also, part of that is some of the UFO activity here in the town. We used to have a Nike missile base here that I think that was part of that, but... Davis, any final comments for people here in Waukesha on why they should watch Capsules?
Oh yeah. I think it's a real thrill ride. It's 70 minutes. It's super short, and it just takes you on a ride, like a very unexpected ride. And it's I think a very universal story, which is when you are young, when you're 19, 20, you think that you're invincible, and then you realize that you're not. And it
sounds great. Davis Brown, thanks for joining us.
Great pleasure,
Davis. All the way from New York.
Best wishes to you.
Be sure to check out Capsules on Amazon Prime Video and Apple TV. Davis Brown, thanks again. Best to your folks. And we'll be back on This Week in Waukesha.
Hi, Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
Don't settle for big box service and pricing when it comes to your flooring. Choose Straight Edge Flooring for quality and personalized service. A family-owned flooring company, they offer full-service flooring solutions from material to install, including on-site dust-free refinishing. Straight Edge Flooring installers are CFI certified and fully insured with free in-home consultations to simplify your project. Choose Straight Edge Flooring. Log on straightedgewi.com. That's straightedgewi.com or call 414-779-8931 and make your vision a reality.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Home of buttery popcorn treats that make your mouth water.
Caramel, cookies and cream, strawberry shortcake and more. civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 65. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast tonight, lows level off around 44. Mainly sunny skies and calm tomorrow, highs level off around 67. Low 70s Tuesday, warmer on Wednesday with highs in the mid 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
This week in Waukesha, and this is a classic, One Tin Soldier from the classic movie Billy Jack. And I'm here with Jim Sintel, and it feels like we're living in that Billy Jack movie with
it,
you know,
does.
Some of the kind of the scary elements from, I hate to say the far right, but they're just some short-minded people, right. and
profound challenges. And what do you do day to day to try to get through that and overcome that? And about the vision of where we should end up. That's the great challenge of today, right, Don?
It sure is, yeah. And so we had an election on Tuesday night. We were pleased with many of the results, mm-hmm. especially at the Supreme Court, the Waukesha School Board. We gained a progressive in Diane Voigt.
Right.
We did lose. A conservative that our good friend Matt Flynn would call a principled conservative, mm-hmm. and Cory Monteiho, right, who in many cases was the voice of reason,
right.
And he was replaced by a even more conservative. This, I guess, David Ladd is his name. And so, what are these implications for Waukesha and the state in your mind, Jim?
Sure. And again, the easy answer, of course, Don, is we will see. Because when we, even I chatted about this, one of the things I think we commented about is one never knows, right? The history of America, certainly the history of Wisconsin and of Waukesha, is that what we think is going to happen, what the predictable comes from the elections and appointments, most often comes to be, but not always. Things happen along the way. I recall very well, for example, obviously the election, for example, of Brian Hagedorn to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and everyone thought at the time, okay, well, now we're going to have a huge shift, a further shift to the right.
Right.
And again, Brian Hagedorn surprised us in both directions with respect to maps, which I think we'll talk about as well, going in two different directions, candidly, but surprised a lot of people. Same with these recent elected officials coming into office. There is a difference between campaigning and actually governing, as you know well, more than anybody else, right? And so those realities sometimes are impressed upon people, and they come to recognize that what I said in the campaign, I'm going to try to follow up on that, but not necessarily going to be able to achieve that. And so my first point would be just about the unpredictability of things. Mm-hmm. And even with respect to the Supreme Court race, again, affecting Waukesha dramatically, other things going around the state, we don't know. We don't know how these issues will percolate up and out. Mm-hmm. If anyone says to you today in 2023, in early April, that, well, within 2 years, this is going to happen, don't believe them. They don't know. They can't predict with certainty. And there are a lot of things that we can, in fact, anticipate. And certainly some of the stories that are going to be coming up to elected officials here in Waukesha, events, decisions to be made to our other courts around the state, those we know about probably, but just that notion that we know with certain how this is going to be in 2024 and beyond, we don't know.
Sure. So, and I guess cutting to the chase to what I call issue number one, how soon before the wheels in motion can go into place to start working on the redrawing?
Absolutely.
Of our
map, line drawing, right? Exactly. Yeah. And again, you and I have chatted about this on your fine broadcast in the past. It all has to do with standing. Of course, here's a lawyer talking with you on a Saturday morning about this legal principle. But it basically means is this. If I go into court and I say, gee, a judge, I want you to remedy this problem. I want you to remedy, for example, the lines that are drawn. I've got to be able to stand up in front of that judge, in front of a jury, and say, I have been harmed in some way. I've been damaged in some way. That's called standing. I've got to have some cognizable way of saying that you've got to remedy something and I have suffered as a result of this. And so, again, in terms of timing, we presumably would need to have people come forward and say, in the recent elections under the present scheme of line drawing and those that were done, obviously, in the wake of the 2020 census, we know all about the litigation back and forth, both here and at the Supreme Court and frankly, around the country. Someone's got to come forward and say, okay, in a recent election, this is where I am. And because of the lines being drawn as they are, I was disenfranchised in some way, or more significantly, my opportunity to have someone represent me, perhaps in Madison, maybe locally, has been impacted because of the way the lines were drawn. Cracking, packing is what the gerrymandering is all about. I've got to be able to identify that. You can do that. You need to identify those people. And then what you do, you bring the lawsuit, presumably in the Wisconsin Circuit Court, here in Waukesha, other places.
I believe one's already been put into place.
Absolutely. Right? It's already percolating up. And that is the process. It doesn't happen overnight. You've got to have findings of fact, all sorts of things like that.
For those listeners on the right, it's not about, and again, because it could happen someday, it's about having a level playing field.
Right.
And
that
the legislature reflects the voting public. It's all fair play.
Absolutely.
And because we don't want to discourage people from participating in local politics. You know, I've been very upset that only five or six open city council seats. Only one was contested, and that was Eric Payne. Congratulations, Eric. I did one, and a great way to celebrate his 20th anniversary this month on the city council. But that local council voted, like recently approved a huge hotel, Cobblestone Hotel, just right around the corner here, Associated Bank.
Going to change the geography here, right?
Yeah, great. But are people paying attention to that?
Right.
And do you have people in the council that reflect your values with regards to downtown business development?
Right.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It sounds like a wonderful opportunity, but... Right. Are we really doing our homework and our due diligence?
Exactly. And if you are applauding that or you are condemning that, again, if you did not vote, I would offer to you that that's your lesson, right?
Yeah.
You get the government that you vote for, and you're not always going to be successful. That's right. And that means that if you're not successful in seeing your candidates on the local council, in the assembly, in the Senate, in the governor's mansion, what you need to do then is you need to write the letters. You need to do the advocacy. You need to continue to petition for those things that are important to you, and then you vote again. And that's the level playing field that we talked about.
Here in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, we can be a resource here for you. So call in or even come see me. I do hold hours during the week. But switching gears, because we only have 2 minutes and I know time is tight, is still a lot of attention about the Muskego decision not to do anything on the racist acts.
Right.
And cutting to the chase, is there anything the state legislature, is there anything that the WIA can do to say maybe impose a death penalty on schools where racist acts are performed?
Right. As we have talked before, Don, in another setting about...
the WIA.
Exactly, right. It is very clear that this is an organization, an entity that appropriately has a great deal of authority, right? This is not an advisory commission. This is not
they are the law
when it comes to these kinds of things. And so what does that mean? All right, they're not a legislative body. They're not the governor. They're not the kinds of folks we were talking about just a moment or so ago. But they are the law when it comes to the administration of sports and the promotion of sportsmanship inside all athletics. And so my response to that is they should be not only saying the right things about not only condemning racism and specific acts and even more generally tendencies and messaging that, again, is sometimes very difficult to codify, if you want, a piece of paper. They should be sending those messages, doing training, ensuring that both the student athletes and their coaches, administrators understand what this is all about. And yes, indeed, condemning it unequivocally when it in fact happens and ensuring that the world knows that this is not only what the WIAA is all about, but what sportsmanship is all about, too.
Jim Sentell, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
Come back and see us tail end because we want to talk about the school board. My guest next week on This Week in Waukesha is Orange Hat Publishing, Shannon Ishizaki, who's bringing one of her writers, a wonderful independent children's book publisher here in downtown Shaw. Please, everyone, have a happy Easter. Don't forget to vote Warren Zevon.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.